from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Jeremy White.
People aren't inspecting chicken cacciatore being like, you know what, hold on.
You don't look at the meat you're about to be like, you know, this looks a little funky.
But you're not trying to discern. It's like, is that cantaloupe? Right? That looks like it might be cantaloupe.
And Joe DiBiase.
Wills and won'ts. Will eat a Cobb salad in a movie theater.
Yep.
Won't pick up a quarter.
Nope.
On Western New York sports giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good Monday morning to everybody. Morning, Sal.
It's good to be here, man.
Sal Capaccio in this week. Very exciting. Very exciting.
I'm, like, super excited. Like, this is the best. We come in here, like, big things happen when people are away, right? Things happen.
Yeah.
Jeremy's away. He's going to, you know, he's tending to his family of five now.
Yeah.
But this is the first time we've been together in a little while, but especially it's going to be for 4 days this week, and we had a lot happen this week. And then I get up this morning, and Joe, normally when I'm in with you or Jeremy in the morning, a lot of times it's, I'm going to be in Studio Capaccio.
Yeah.
Well, today I drove in. I didn't realize how light it was at 5 in the morning when I got in my car.
Uh-huh. That realization happened to me. Actually, when I went away to Ireland, I came back, and that was a 10-day difference.
Mm-hmm.
So when I would have left, it was like still pretty dark, but maybe you just were seeing the sun. Peeked through a little bit, and then I came back 2 weeks later. It's like, oh no, the sun is just up. The sun's just basically up. Like it's you know, right now it's bright outside. We could golf right now.
Yeah.
It's light enough out. We could do lawn work outside. Like we could do the show outside. We wouldn't be in the dark.
This is why when they had the 100 holes of golf and the 117 holes of golf for Josh Allen, like they started at like 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
Because you could start at 5 in the morning.
And they do it during like July. You really couldn't.
No, it's in June. It's right when the longest days of the year.
The solstice. The solstice or the equinox.
My wife always gets sad. Like she always says, like on the first day of summer, she says, I said, it's the first day of summer. It's great. She's like, yeah, it always makes me sad because the days will start getting shorter after today.
Mm.
I'm like, yeah, but that's. Like you got to think it the other way.
Yeah, you got to. You got to be glass half full there. Like I've got half of my, I got half of my best days left. Right, like the build up to the 21st are like the top half of the great days of the year when it comes to light. So
yeah,
I got the second half of that still.
And then I get here and I have a question for you before we start because I know we got a lot to get to.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
So last time I did the morning show for any prolonged time was probably 2 months ago with Jeremy.
Okay.
I don't know. Josh, remember when I was in here with Jeremy?
When I went to Ireland?
Yeah, when were you going?
It was the Ireland trip.
It was like a month and a half ago.
Okay, a month and a half ago. Yeah. Okay, so you go to Ireland. I come in. So I come in, and on my way, I drink flavored creamers for coffee. I don't drink regular creamers.
Okay.
Okay, just flavor. It's got hazelnut or French vanilla, basically. That's what I like.
All right. Yep.
Now, if I don't have flavor creamer, I'll just put some sweetener in. Or a black coffee guy. I just don't like regular creamer. Anyway, I bought a little bottle of hazelnut. It's, you know, about just a little bottle. I don't know, a quart or whatever.
Yeah.
And I brought it in a month and a half ago. And I just now got some coffee and realized a little bit of that is still left in there.
It's
a month and a half old.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I didn't know if I should use it.
Hazelnut creamer. It's been, you opened it a month and a half ago?
I bought it. Yes, I bought it.
You bought it.
And
so it was brand new.
Brand new when you were in Ireland.
Okay.
And I brought the first day I said, I'm going to be in with Jeremy all week. And if I'm coming in the studio, I want to make sure I have my hazelnut creamer. So I had it. I put it in the fridge.
Yeah.
And every time I'd put some coffee in, I'd put some hazelnut creamer in. That was a great, it lasted me perfectly for that week.
Okay.
And then, because I go through a lot. And then and then today.
And you left it in there at the end of the week and you haven't gone back to it.
No.
Even.
Never thought about it.
Yeah. Have you been, how many times have you been in since then versus
Capaccio? But I don't think I've been here for the morning show.
Right.
I've been here at the station.
Right.
Maybe for my show.
But not for coffee time.
Right. And I do generally do drink coffee. I never thought about it, though. I never even thought about.
Yeah.
Until this morning, I said, I need some more coffee. Wait a minute. I wonder if that hazelnut is still in there.
Uh-huh.
Sure enough, I opened the fridge.
Uh-huh.
There it is.
Now,
there's a little bit left, and I'm thinking, I had to smell it.
I had to smell it first. Yeah, yeah. That'd be my second move. I think my first move would be to see if I can find an expiration date
on the outside. I couldn't find one.
It's probably there somewhere.
I did look.
If there's no expiration date, wouldn't that imply that... Doesn't there have to be expiration dates?
There has to be. There's got to be one
for
on there somewhere.
For things that can expire, though.
That's what I'm wondering.
Can everything expire? Maybe not everything.
But it's a creamer. It has to expire at some point, right? I don't know. I don't know how these things work.
Creamer is weird because it makes... Isn't there dairy in it? And if there's dairy in it...
That's a good question. The reason I don't drink regular creamer is I can't do dairy really well, but I do like flavored creamers.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I would...
Even though, like, yeah, I like
maybe
the taste.
That would be my third move. Maybe my first move would be find the expiration date. There is none. Okay, let me smell it. That'd be the second move. The third move might be, is there dairy in this? Right? Although, I guess if it smells fine, I might just go for it. But if there's no dairy in it, you know, there's dairy-free creamers out there. I think the one that we use might be dairy-free.
I'll have to grab during the break, I'll have to bring the container, the bottle in for you to show you.
I wonder if that even matters, but maybe it doesn't.
But there is still a little bit left, and I put it back in, but I did use it. It's in my coffee.
It's in your coffee.
So far, so good.
And it tastes fine.
I just want you to know that at some point during this segment, if you hear dead air from my side of the mic,
sprint to the bathroom.
Because I probably ran to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And had to, and we have to literally walk out of everything here to go to the bathroom in our building.
Are you thinking about this every time you're taking a sip?
No, I'm good now.
All right.
I did the first few.
The first couple few you're in and now you're fine?
And I'm like, I think I'm good.
I don't know. I guess I don't know the rule on creamer. I've never thought about it. I don't drink creamer. I just go straight black coffee.
Flavored creamer, too. It's a little different because it's not like your standard, you know.
I might not think the flavor matters to whether it lasts or not.
Right.
That would be my guess.
Well, I just don't know if it's processed different, if it's like it's got something
in
it.
Okay. I think you're the fact that you're already drinking it, I mean, I guess, you know, you can't quit now.
It's good.
You can't, a vigorous.
I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's go. You know what?
All right.
The last thing I need is more energy. All right.
Yeah.
It might have gotten me.
Here
you
go.
It might have gotten me more.
He's got a giant coffee here. All right. Sal's fired up. I'm fired up. We've got a hockey trade to talk about today. We'll get to that. I got a football tweet that I want to yell about a little bit later on. We'll have Paul on. We'll have my buddy Tom Gazzola, who we've had a couple times on during the finals. We have reason to bring him back because they made a trade with Edmonton. So that'll be at 9 o'clock. So plenty of time for your phone calls at 803-0550. We both saw the Savannah Bananas this weekend.
Yes.
Was it not... I don't even know how to put it into words because I'm not someone that's ever really gone to see the Globetrotters. I saw them when I was a kid.
Okay.
But not since then. So it's been a very long time since I saw the Harlem Globetrotters. So this was kind of unique for me. And I was surprised how much I enjoyed it. It was awesome.
It was fantastic. Awesome. It was great.
I'm so glad I got to see it.
It was really, really
Yeah. You
cool.
went so you went Friday night, right?
So we went Friday night, the first show here in Buffalo.
Yep.
and we went with our travel baseball team.
Okay.
And really a lot of the other teams in the league, the North Buffalo travel baseball, basically. And we had somebody in the group had gotten group tickets a while back because I guess they had a way to do that before they went on sale. Yeah. So whatever. So we all kind of organized this whole thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Without realizing at first it was general admission, which was a whole other story we can get to.
But real quick, we realized that the morning of yesterday, and we got together early. We realized it early enough, like, okay, let's leave like an hour and a half early before the game starts.
So this is, I would tell you that of everything that happened of the whole weekend surrounding this, there are only two issues I really had. Number one was the general admission.
Like, yeah, it was tough.
I think the better way to do it would be, even if you want to do free tickets, just claim a seat when you get your tickets, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Claim a seat.
Just
but
so
it's
everyone
all free.
Has an assigned seat that way when they get
was,
in the ballpark.
Because it was a rush, and it was a lot of people, and you're like, oh my God, you're at the gates and this big swelling.
Yeah.
Okay. Without going down that road right now, we can revisit that.
Mm-hmm.
The actual show on the field, from everything, for an hour and a half pregame, essentially.
Yeah.
Right?
The pregame was
incredible.
There was a baby race, I think, when we were in the pregame that was really funny.
Yeah.
There was a dance contest that the whole crowd was like, had this visceral reaction because this dude tried to do a backflip.
Uh-huh.
And let's just say it didn't go well. But then so everyone went, oh, and then he got up and he did it again, and it was the same result, and he won the thing. Like, that happened during it. There was
a guy on the Bananas who was a fantastic dancer, and he did a big Michael Jackson routine during our pregame.
Okay, yep.
It was great.
That sounds familiar. Yep. There were a lot of different dance routines, which were very cool.
The introductions were awesome. Did they play the firefighters for you guys?
They did.
The firefighters coming in with the truck.
With the truck
from
behind
right field,
them.
And the firefighters.
Yeah.
I mean, the introductions were straight out of WWE.
Yeah.
With, you know, kid-friendly. Not that WWE isn't, but it's much more even for all ages, right?
Yes.
I mean, it was just awesome. And Joe, like the Globetrotters, they're really good baseball players. These are not slouches. These are not just entertainers who are trying to play baseball. These are legitimate baseball players. I saw two 400-foot home runs.
Did you?
Oh, my God.
We saw one. That would be 400 feet if it was center field,
yes.
Right? Yes, we saw one that was center field. So 400 feet.
I saw two. I think I saw three or four overall home runs. And the shortstop for the Bananas is Bananas. He's incredible. The guy.
Jackson Olson, right?
Is that his name? I don't know the names of these guys. My son knows their names. Yes.
I follow him on TikTok, and he's like, I followed his whole journey. Like, he like played college baseball, tried to make it to the MLB, didn't know what he was going to do, then kind of became a content creator. And then the Bananas picked him up, and they were like, hey, like, we love your content. Like, come try out
for
the team.
He was fielding balls, like, really tough, like a hot shot to short. He fields it. And then he puts it between his legs and throws a guy out. And the first baseman would routinely catch it behind his back.
Yes.
I mean, I'm like, what is going on here?
This was happening during the games, too, where they would do, like, the backflip in the like center field, left field. They would do a backflip while they were catching the ball. Yeah. I don't know. Was it Jackson Olson you mentioned? I couldn't catch it who the name was, but I heard... I could have swore I heard during one of the player introductions that they were on like Team USA for some tournament. So like these guys are real, right? They're good baseball players.
Yes,
and the things they were doing was crazy.
It says here he plays infield for the Bananas, but I have seen him in highlights playing shortstop. So maybe he was
infield. That would be infield. That would be infield.
Well, right, but maybe like he moves around. You know?
Oh
like,
yeah, probably they probably do that a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a great, great time.
The ballpark, too. Like, the ballpark being packed full.
16,000 people.
Yeah.
The game we went to Friday night was the shortest game in Bananas history. They played an hour and 29 minutes.
We weren't that much longer than that. I think it was like an hour and 40, maybe? Hour and 35?
They have a two-hour time limit.
They do have a two-hour time limit. That was one thing I wanted to get to was some of the rules.
Yes.
Did you know or look up the rules before you went to the game?
So I knew several of the rules because Max has been following the Bananas for years.
Okay.
Even before they were really big and telling me about them and showing me YouTube. And I thought they were kind of like that's cool. It's just like this cool baseball team that does funny things down in Savannah. And then they became this traveling show.
Yeah.
And he would tell me, Dad, We have to, what he would tell me, this is like 3 years ago, my son would tell me, Dad, we got to go to a bananas game because if you catch a foul ball,
yeah,
they're out. Yes. So, Joe, did that happen at your game?
It did.
It happened at our game, too.
It happened to the bananas, though. Like, it was for...
Okay.
By the way, I like that. In the Globetrotters, again, I haven't seen them since I was a kid, but it's still always the Washington Generals that they play?
Usually. There's another team now, I think, but yes, right. Yes.
Are they set up more as, like, the villain, though? Like, where they'll get kind booed of, yeah. And whatnot? Like, that's not
the case here.
No, like... You can easily just root for the firefighters if you wanted.
They were great.
Like, I almost felt like were people cheering? Like, people weren't mad that a fan caught the ball on a bananas foul ball. So the player for the Savannah Bananas was the one that was out.
Uh huh.
But like, no one hates the firefighters on the other side. Like, they haven't been set up as the villain really.
There's three teams I read that they play against.
Oh, okay.
You can look them up. It's firefighters and two others. They're different, okay. And they can.
But that changes.
One's called the Party Animals, actually, I believe.
That sounds familiar.
Okay.
Firefighters is like the newest one, I think. Actually, the Party Animals has been like.
Okay.
It was like just
that was their original.
Let me tell you what happened in our game with the foul ball.
Okay.
It gets we sat our kids. We were able to. It's general admission. We all get there. A lot of our kids sat first row behind the visitor's dugout. I was in the third row behind the visitor's dugout, just kind of watching and making sure everybody was good and all that.
Mm-hmm.
One of our, there were several of our travel kids that we came with that just came later and couldn't find spots with us. Well, one was sitting down in left field. Ball gets hit.
Yeah.
Our kid catches it. His name is Colin. Colin Stimson, shout out.
Yeah.
He kept a 10-year-old kid that I coach. He's on my team.
Yep.
Catches the foul ball.
He had it out in the
game.
They
brought him out on the field and did an interview with him on the field, and he was on ESPN.
That was
so cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's our kid.
That's very
cool. It was so awesome. He caught the ball. They brought him out. They did that. Behind the, we were behind the firefighters' dugout, and you're right. They became like kind of the team to root for us in our section because they were so cool to interact with.
Yeah.
There was a kid sitting next to me that yelled down, 22, 22. Number 22 looks up. The kid goes, staring contest. Joe, the kid and the firefighter had this staring contest, and they did not blink for about 4 or 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And it was insane. And I'm watching, and the guy wouldn't turn around to play.
Yeah.
He just did the staring contest.
He was stuck in the staring
the whole time.
That's good. They brought a bunch of kids out on the field, which was very cool. Mm-hmm. And they one kid like ran the bases before the game, and like that was while someone was trying to get him out.
Yeah,
we need more of these specific games. I feel like pro sports can take a lesson from the bananas when even it comes to like breaks in the action type of entertainment.
Yes,
there was. I think my favorite one was Human Pac-Man. Did they do that while at your game? Human Pac-Man.
I don't think they did Human Pac-Man.
There was one guy, a dad, I think, that maybe they were his kids, maybe they were just other kids, I don't know. But one dad with the kids, and he was Pac-Man. And all the players were standing at different parts in the field with balloons. And he had to go pop the balloons like Pac-Man, like he was Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids...
We didn't get to see this.
The kids were all given like big oversized t-shirts that were like just orange or green or red, like they were the ghosts. In Pac-Man, they played the music, they said, okay, go, and then they let the kids go one at a time after to chase him. So he's running around the whole field, like outfield and infield, trying to pop these balloons while these three kids are all chasing him, trying to get him out.
I love
it. And that went on for like 90 seconds, but that was like, I'm like, that was the coolest like in break break entertainment that I've ever seen.
Did the umpire get into it like he did in our game?
The umpire was very into it.
He was dancing.
He loves his job.
I mean, if anybody ever saw the movie Naked Gun and Leslie Nielsen, the umpire, that's what this guy was like. He was into it and rocking and dancing. And the umpire at home plate for us looked exactly like Brian Daboll. And I'm not kidding that I thought it was Brian Daboll. I'm like, why is Brian Daboll here?
Uh-huh.
This is really weird. He's the head coach of the Giants.
Yeah.
But he was not Brian Daboll. But he looked exactly like him. And he was dancing.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was what a cool event. I mean, there were three of them, right? They did one on Saturday, too, I'm assuming.
They were on ESPN, by the way, which I didn't even know until I was at the game.
Me
like
either.
This game's on national TV. So very cool. I hope they come back because I would definitely go to see that again and would highly recommend. Like if you didn't get a chance to go this time, they're doing world tours like every year now.
Yeah.
So I would guess they're going to come back eventually.
And here's one of the other cool things. After the game, I don't know how long you stayed. Did you leave right away?
No, we left right away.
Okay. So after the game, the crowd goes out. There are tents set up everywhere, right? For like merch and all that right outside the stadium.
Yep.
But people waited. The players for both teams came out in a line after the game and walked through the crowd. They were doing high fives and went to individual stations across the street.
Yeah.
I think that'd be Swan Street. Across Swan Street, they did individual stations and just signed for like over an hour they were signing still.
Yeah.
Coach Rack was the big guy that everybody, like Max, he had to see Coach Rack. Coach Rack invented, I think, he told me, the Bruce Bolt batting gloves, which are the big thing that all the players are wearing now. Like this huge company, he didn't invent them. Let me rephrase that. He was one of the first big people to wear them as an influencer, and now like a lot of MLB guys are. So kids are really into this guy. And his line, Joe, was so long, and he signed every autograph and took every picture. It was insane.
Yeah.
And they all were like that.
That's awesome. That very cool. Like right across the street, like
right
kind of the
street.
Old Union Pub.
And they had a little sign for each guy.
Yeah.
So you know who you were going to get in line for.
That's awesome. So what other quick game I wanted to play with you real quick that relates to the Savannah Bananas? Because they have what they call banana ball. Like this is not, I mean, it's baseball.
Yeah.
But there are different rules. All right, there are 12 different rules, 11 different rules that they have versus regular baseball.
Okay. All right.
I want to force you, you got to employ one of these into Major League Baseball.
Okay.
You have to pick one to employ into Major League Baseball. You could pick multiple, I guess, if you want to. Let's read the 11 rules. Are any of these a good idea to implement into real baseball? And you already mentioned the one. What do we think about the fan rule? Fan catches the ball, you're out.
Do not like it. Do not like it.
No?
Not a good rule at all.
It's fun for the fans, at least, but it would definitely...
If I go to a Yankees-Blue Jays game and I'm sitting in foul territory and a Yankee hits a foul ball, I am intentionally dropping it.
Ooh, you'd have to maybe only do it for the away team or have something like that. But what if Vlad Guerrero Jr. hits a ball back and you catch it? He's out.
And then everybody gets mad at me if I'm at the Blue Jays stadium, but everybody loves me if I'm at the Yankee stadium.
Right, that's true.
I do not want to do that. I want all foul balls to be caught by people in the stands, but it should not impact the game.
Okay. How about the you win an inning, you get a point? It's basically match play.
Okay, so
like
I actually think this could be one where it's not total runs. It's,
it's match play.
Yeah.
So you win, like, the third inning in our game, the Firefighters had 3 runs and the Bananas had 1. So they didn't get 3 runs on the scoreboard. They,
right.
They plus 1 for them.
So basically, what happened in our game, too, a few times, I'm sure in yours, top of the inning, the Firefighters don't score. Bananas come up, they had a home run, the inning's over. You won 1-0. Like, you didn't have to hit, you didn't have to get 3 outs.
Yeah.
I'm going to put maybe on this one.
All right.
Let's keep going.
All right. The 2-hour time limit. I guess you could play around with that if you wanted to change the amount of time, but...
I might be okay with it. I mean, now, you can't let pro sports have a time limit. Some games just have to go on.
Is it better than pitch clock? Have an overall, hey, the
no,
game's
going to
last 3 hours.
No, I like the pitch clock. I think the pitch clock has done a really good job for Major League Baseball.
Okay.
I'd rather do that.
No stepping out of the batter's box.
Don't like that one. Not for Major League.
Okay.
But they did. The game does go fast.
That's why a lot of these rules are like, we're going to keep the game moving as quickly as
possible. If you step out, I believe, you're ejected.
You're ejected if you do it. Is that right?
I know you're out.
No, if you do, it's called a strike. You step out of the batter's box, it's called a strike.
If you bunt, you're ejected. Is that one you're getting to?
That's the next one. No bunting. Yeah.
You got to have bunting in baseball.
Yeah, and their thing, bunting sucks. We're eliminating it. Swing the bat is the phrase behind the no bunting rule. This one, batters can steal first base. If the pitcher throws a wild pitch, then start running.
Yes, love that. Go.
Batters can steal first base.
I like it.
Yeah.
The only time we can do it now is on a drop third strike. If there's a drop third strike in MLB.
Right.
And you can go to first base in most situations, not all, but yes.
Right. This is my favorite, I think. If it's the first pitch of an at bat and the ball goes way past the catcher and like off behind
him.
Yeah, if you want to take off for first base, go take first base.
That's right. I like that.
No walks allowed. So batters are allowed to sprint to first base or they advance as far as they can. The catcher, meanwhile, has to throw the ball to every position player before the batter can be tagged out. So instead of a walk, did you see them doing this?
I did not realize. I knew I thought they were just doing it to do it for to throw the ball up.
They were like passing the ball around to everybody. Every fielder has to touch the ball before you can tag him out. That's the walk.
That is really cool. Maybe. I like that. Right. That's a very unique rule that I don't think would be too gimmicky for baseball.
No mound visits.
Yeah, you got to have a mound visit, right? Come on. Okay. I don't know.
All right.
Come on. Limit. Major League Baseball is limiting them now, which is okay.
The showdown tiebreaker. If a game is tied after 9 innings or 2 hours, it goes to a showdown between the pitcher and the batter with only one fielder. Only one out is allowed. If that batter makes an out, the other team steps to the plate. If there's a hit, the fielder must retrieve it, stop the batter from rounding the bases, which would result in a point scored.
We already do this. It's called 3-on-3 hockey. And then a shootout.
The banana ball challenge rule. Any fan can challenge a ruling on the field.
Oh, man. I didn't have...
That's real? I didn't know that.
I didn't have that happen in our game.
We didn't have that happen in our game.
Wow.
Either.
They didn't publicize
that
very much.
Like, if I'm in the front row, you guys were in the front row. If you yelled to the umpire, challenge, they would have had to challenge it?
I don't know. That's a good question. That never happened.
I wonder what the mechanics are of that. And then finally, the last one, the golden batter rule. A team can send up any batter to hit in the lineup. If you ever want to see the best batter in the most crucial spot late in the game, this rule ensures it. The golden batter rule. So picture. It's the World Series. It's Game 7. You have the golden batter rule. It's the 9th inning, and the Yankees are down 1. And you, Aaron Judge went last inning, but you want to send him back up in the 9th. You can send him back up.
Here
in
we
the
go.
Ninth.
I like it. Let's do it.
Golden batter rule.
Let's do it.
All right. So more of these are not that bad than maybe I thought. I thought I might have to make you pick one.
I mean,
there's
baseball,
a couple that aren't bad.
Joe, you could have said to me 2 years ago, I guess 3-4 years ago now, I guess it might have been pre-COVID, you could have said to me, you know what? I think here's some rules in baseball we should change. Let's make the bases bigger. Let's make limited number of pickoff attempts to 2. Mm-hmm. Let's make a pitch clock. Let's do no shift in the infield. Mm-hmm. And I would have been like, oh, yeah, we would have been debating all these rules. Yeah, that's what they do in banana ball. Major League Baseball did all of those things.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, they did.
These things are not too far-fetched for Major League Baseball, some of them.
How about ponds in the outfield? Is that far-fetched? Let's do it like golf. We're just going to have hazards around everywhere. Is that bad?
No, you don't want to hurt anybody.
Tough.
That's you don't want to have anybody hurt.
Imagine diving for a foul ball, though, as you land in the pond.
A bunker down
great
the third baseline
so did they,
for a bunt.
I heard they did the Pinto Ron thing at your
they
game.
They did. They do that.
Ketchup and mustard.
They brought out a tarp. They brought the ladder out because the firemen had a ladder.
Okay.
They were using that to... Like to celebrate home runs. Too.
Yes.
And then, one player like faced the ladder and someone else squirted ketchup and mustard on him. They did that.
At our game, they broke a table after a home run.
They did that at the end of our game. They didn't do it at the end of a home run, though.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much, Brandon, getting connected with our fans. He says, before the game, here's the challenge rule, Joe.
Okay.
They anoint one fan as the challenger. They get to wear the umpire jacket and have the ability to challenge any umpire call. They gave the jacket out during pregame. I did not know this. Thank you, Brandon.
I didn't know that either.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's actually really cool. I love that. So it's only one guy that gets to be, or one gal that gets to be the challenger.
Could be some kid, some kid. It doesn't matter.
Interesting.
I guess.
Very cool.
Yes.
Very fun. All right, Savannah Bananas, they took over downtown for the last couple of days. They're on their way to whatever their next city is. Maybe they'll be back next year. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Jeremy and Joe. Sal's in this week. Let's get to this trade the Sabres made on Friday. They made it Friday afternoon, evening, so we have not been able to get our take in on it yet. I'll just set it up this way, tease it this way. I am in a very different place now from the place I was in the first time I read the deal. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We'll talk about the deal that sends Ryan McLeod to the Buffalo Sabres when we come back. Sal's in for Jeremy. It's Jeremy and Joe. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the 176th banana ball game ever played in front of fans, as Lytle sprays this the other way. Chance for the fans to get their first out of the night. They say yes, and the umpires agree. Trincy Chapman, the third base umpire, with the call. Joe Lytle fouls out to a fan down the third baseline.
One more quick observation about the Savannah Bananas that I think I like and appreciate more than like what the Globetrotters would do, is that you don't know who's going to win. Right? They don't win every game.
That's right. They're not a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah. Like Globetrotters, you know they're going to win every game.
Right.
Lost one in like the 70s by accident or something.
I believe, so the games we went to, I think they said, I didn't realize, they've played 60-something games on this season, trip, this tour, whatever, however they call it. And it started off in Tampa, and they lost like their first one.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. They lose like, oh, so that, what are you saying, the clip there? 176th game or something?
In front of fans.
The game I think you would have been at on Friday, or maybe it was Saturday, was their 100th win. Like their,
okay,
their
so
100th win.
Maybe I misunderstood, but yes, that's right. So yeah. They don't win every game, that's right.
That means they would have lost like 70 games.
I remember one time, I mean, I don't even remember when, there was a story about the Globetrotters losing a game and how, like, wow. Like, how
I've read about that. Yeah, like, it was by accident. Yeah. They were playing around, and then they realized there was, like, 4 minutes left, and they were down too much to come back, and they couldn't come back in time. Right, it was by accident. Otherwise, you know they're going to win.
Right.
This is, like, it's silly, and there are fun rules, and it's entertainment, it's fast, but it still is a game. Like, it's still a competitive game where both teams are trying to get into it at the end. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off until training camp. Sal is in this week. And Friday, before the Bananas took over the weekend a little bit, Friday we finally got it. We got our Sabres trade that we had been looking for weeks, months, years, whatever timestamp you want to put on it. What was your immediate reaction to the deal? Was it like, oh, wow, they made a move? Was there any bit of, ooh, look at everybody outside of Buffalo trashing this deal?
I did not see that happen. We were already on the, speaking of bananas.
You would have had to have been on Twitter.
The pricing and parking and spacing was not ideal. We took the train down. I was literally on the train, subway, on the way to the game when this happened.
When you saw that the train
happened.
Okay.
And I said, oh, my God, my first response was, oh my God, they traded Matthew Savoy. Not, oh my God, they traded for Ryan McLeod.
Okay.
Right? That's the, I did not see any outside reaction until you tweeted about outside reaction. Yeah. And then I said, oh, I wonder who's saying what. It's got to be people in Edmonton or somebody else trashing it. Okay, so I'm going to give my thought, and then I know you let me say it this way. This trade reminds me of a fantasy football trade, and I'll explain what I mean. Would you say one for one, Matthew Savoy for Ryan McLeod in most situations is even or worth it? Probably not. This is a high level prospect with a lot of goal scoring ability for a third line center. That's what he is. Who can play up on the second line in a pinch. Good penalty killer. He's a good, solid NHL player with speed. One for one, this is not a trade that most people would look at and say, what happens in your fantasy football league when you, Joe, make a trade with Jeremy and people go, why is he trading that? That's collusion.
Yeah. We all jump in the group chat and start going off.
But the reason you make the trade is, but guys, I have this other stuff. This isn't one for one for me. I'm actually taking him out, putting another guy in, and adding this wide receiver.
Right.
Right? That's what this is for me for the Sabres. I am not here to tell you that the Sabres should not have traded Matthew Savoy. I think he is a very high-level prospect, and we could be looking at him in a couple years going, oh my God, I can't believe the guy just scored 30 and he's on the way to win a Conn Smythe. I don't know. That could happen. Mm-hmm. I'm not predicting it. I'm not here to defend the trade outright. That's not the point I'm making. I do think, though, that the outside perspective does not understand why the Sabres made this trade and what it does. The Sabres had to make this trade now to get what they needed in their lineup right now. This is not a one-for-one, talent-for-talent trade. This is a trade that both teams had to do it for their respective positions. And in fantasy football, it happens all the time. I've been commissioner of leagues where I will get people telling me, I can't believe he traded this player for that player. That's such collusion. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. I look at their roster and say, but he had three great running backs. It's okay for him to trade a great one to get a really, really good wide receiver. Because he needed a really good wide receiver. He's giving up the better player, but he's actually helping his lineup more.
Right.
To me, the Sabres might have given up the better player in this deal. That's debatable. I don't know. 3 years from now, that's probably correct. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to make it. Yeah. And that's where I keep falling back on. Or even if I don't say they had to make it, I understand why they made it.
Yeah.
That's what gives me more solace.
I think you can be right in saying they had to make it.
Okay.
I think they had to make it.
I don't think they had to trade Matt Savoy. They had to make a deal. I don't think they had to trade Matthew Savoy. I understood why they did this deal.
Yeah. No, me too.
And that's where I land.
Maybe they did. Maybe they did have to trade Matt Savoy because they have been trying, I think, to make this move all summer. I mean, it was not really hidden. I mean, the media reported about it. Adams has talked about it. That they've wanted the top two things they wanted going into the offseason, if you listen to the Friedmans and the LeBruns of the world, was they wanted a top six forward and they wanted a third line center. And here they were on July 5th, and the day they made the trade, they hadn't done either yet. So, okay, what is it an overpayment? I think both things can be true. It's an overpayment, and you had to make it. But I don't disagree with an overpayment, and actually, I saw my buddy Mike DiStefano from up in Locked On Leafs, and also Matt Larkin, who we love from Daily Faceoff, both, after the trade happened, compared this trade to, there was a deal that happened like 10 years ago that is off, most of the hardcore hockey people will remember is like the worst trade that's ever happened. The Capitals traded Philip Forsberg, who was their best prospect, for Martin Erat. And at the time, everyone's like, you did what? That's a horrible deal. And then, of course, that's exactly how it's worked out because Erat's been out of the league for 10 years and Forsberg has been like one of the best Nashville Predators we've ever seen. So that trade got compared to it. And I think it's wrong because, one, Erat was like a veteran 34-year-old rental and Ryan McLeod's 24 years old. And he's got contract control. One more year, then he's a restricted free agent. So they have control over that. So I don't actually think it's the same at all. I understand it, though. 100%. I understand anybody in Toronto or Edmonton or Ottawa or Boston, anyone that saw this trade, which was the only real hockey action we've had in a couple of days, and went, oh, look at the Sabres. What a joke. You traded a top prospect for a dude who scored 30 points last year. A top prospect for a guy who got healthy scratched in the Stanley Cup final, by the way. Like, I completely get looking at that deal and kind of laughing at it if you don't have the context. I'll be honest. If Detroit or Ottawa had made that deal on Friday, I probably, being here in Buffalo, wouldn't have looked three layers deep into why they made the trade, and I probably would have fired off a tweet about what a joke the Senators are.
That's because you're the outsider in the fantasy football league who is not looking at the rosters and the situation and saying you're giving up too much.
I'm not looking hard enough at the situation, at the context that's required. And in this deal, you've got to do it. That's why, like, when I first saw the trade on Twitter on Friday, I went, oh man, you gave up Savoy for McLeod? Really? You made that deal? And after a half hour, I was in. Because when you really look at all the pieces, all the layers to it, I think the trade makes a lot of sense. He's going to play third line center for them. I think he's a better option than what Peyton Krebs is. He's a part of one theme that I guess you could put it under the umbrella of tougher to play against, right? Because that's what we're hearing a lot of, right? They want to be tougher to play against. McLeod is not going to run you through the wall. He's not physical. In fact, that was one of the biggest complaints I saw from Edmonton was he is not, sometimes he's overly passive in some of those situations where he won't go into the corners. But he is maybe the fastest player in the NHL. The NHL edge stats that they started with the player tracking last year, average speed bursts over 20 miles per hour, both of them, he's 100th percentile. I think that probably means, by the way, he's the fastest player in the league. Mm-hmm.
If he's not, he's certainly close to it.
Right. 100th percentile should mean, in theory, that there's nothing above him. So either way, he's one of the fastest players in the league. He goes with a theme, if you look at the other bottom six guys they added. All of these dudes they've signed for the bottom six are lightning fast. Even Zucker, too. Like, Ube Kubal, Lafferty, all these guys in those NHL edge stats are 95th percentile or higher. Like, they've gotten legitimately faster. And that seems to be a theme here. He, I think, is probably going to give you more than he did in Edmonton, where he was, when Nugent Hopkins would play center, he was the fourth line center.
Right, he was kind of buried in their roster. Oh, he won't be buried in the Sabres roster. He's going to be a really good penalty killer for you. Look, I think for me too, I still have questions about who and what both of these players are going to be. That's part of this, which is,
right,
I don't know how good Ryan McLeod, where his ceiling is. Has he reached it yet?
Yeah.
Can he be what you just said and be much better in Buffalo? I know he's a solid player. I do know his floor is good. He has a high floor.
Yeah.
He's a solid NHL player in a lot of situations. I don't know what his ceiling can be. Maybe he's maxed out. I also don't know what Matt Savoy's ceiling is because, to be quite honest, as excited as I am about him, there's been some rumblings the last year or so that maybe he's just kind of peaked where he is, he's never going to be a really good NHL player because he has to have defensive responsibilities in the NHL that aren't really going to be a strong suit of his game that's going to hurt him.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I don't know.
I
don't think he's done anything. Like, I don't need to tear down Matt Savoy to make this trade work. Like, I think he's probably going to be a very good player. It's really, here's really why, I don't even know if I got to it, like, why I think they had to make the trade, why I think the context leads you to, okay, you make this trade if you're the Sabres, because on the McLeod front, you want to go get Martin Nietzsche instead, right? You want to go get Mitch Marner instead, mm-hmm. Brady Tkachuk. I don't want to just keep beating a dead horse, but I think it's true. I just don't know who they can get to say yes to them. I don't know if they can go get these 30 goal scorers to say they want to come here. So you know what? If McLeods are the best types of players you can get your hands on, then you do it. Even if you are, in theory, overpaying. I think you do it. And Savoy, while, yes, he goes right to the top on Edmonton's prospect pool. Like, he immediately is their best prospect. Here, I think he had been passed. I don't even think it's his fault, by the way. I think he had been passed by Benson. And part of that is Savoy got hurt last year. He might have got that opportunity. But Zach Benson was in the NHL last year. He's ahead of Matthew Savoy. And I think you could argue Yuri Kulik did too in the last 2 years. And again, not Savoy's fault. Kulik was allowed to play against men in the AHL and perform. And Savoy was too good for juniors, but too bad. Like, that agreement you have with the CHL, like, you can't go play anywhere else. So I don't think it's Savoy's fault. I just think there might be two guys ahead of him, and you might have three. You have six first-round forwards in total. When Savoy was on the team, I just, if you wanted to trade one and it was a little bit of an overpayment, I'm just not worried about it because I have five other first-round forwards from the last couple of years.
I apologize for not knowing this. Did Kevin Adams speak since the trade? Do we know this? Has he?
I haven't seen any quotes.
Did Kevin Adams speak since the trade? He hasn't. What I'd like to know from Kevin Adams, and maybe we can ask Paul this when he comes on, did they take Konstantelis with the already thought that we need to take someone to make this trade happen? If that makes sense, right?
Sure.
So maybe they're already talking. There's no way it just comes out of thin air with Edmonton, I think. You're probably talking with Edmonton for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Does Kevin Adams go to the draft and say, I can make this deal, but I got to get a center to replace him in my organization, a scoring center, an offensive center in my organization? He drafts Konstantelis. And what happens the next day? The next week.
Yeah.
He trades Savoy. I wonder if that was all kind of by design, if that makes sense. Because as you're talking about prospects, Joe, I'm not telling you Helen is going to pass him right now.
Yeah.
But they have to feel more comfortable now, at least, about replacing with another center who can be offensive.
Yeah, because now you have, you have four first-round centers.
Right.
In the organization. And Edmonton, too. We'll take a break here, and then we'll get at Paul. We'll get your call right on the other side. It could be both. The Sabres draft Helenis, and maybe, I think they might have made the trade anyway because they're so deep there. But sure, if they pick him and then go, okay, well, we were talking about this. We feel even more comfortable about it now. And Edmonton, it was 6 days ago, they brought back Adam Henrique, who was, by the way, my favorite free agent idea for the Sabres at third line center. They bring back Henrique, and suddenly they go 1-4 at center, if Nugent Hopkins plays center, which sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. McDavid, Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, Henrique. Like, Ryan McLeod is a fine player, it's just not a spot for him. That's the best center core in hockey. So there just wasn't a spot for him. And once Edmonton makes that signing, maybe he becomes even more available. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll talk plenty more about this trade. Hamilton will get on it at 8. We'll get Tom Gazzola in from the Edmonton perspective at 9, and we have plenty of time to get into it more. Paul and Buffalo, stay on hold. We'll get to you when we come back. It's Jeremy and Joe. Sal's in for Jeremy this week. This is WGR. Jeremy and Joe, Sal's in for Jeremy here on WGR. Paul in Buffalo, we'll get to you right when we come back. We'll keep going on the Ryan McLeod trade. Matthew Savoy for McLeod. By the way, the other guy the Sabres got in the deal, Tyler Tulio, might not ever play for the Sabres. Like, AHL guy, the last couple of years. Very quickly on him, my guess would be he's an Amerk. And probably an Amerk forever. Like, at best, I think you might be hoping he develops into someone that's like a call-up. Like a tweener guy. But for now, AHL. Timeout. I got some more thoughts on this trade. And is it enough? Like, are we good if they're done? Or is there another move coming? They proved that the offseason's not over on Friday. So we'll get into that as well. Jeremy and Joe, Sal's in for Jeremy. Timeout here. Your phone calls after this on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress.
Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jeremy and Joe, Sal's in for Jeremy here on WGR. Paul in Buffalo, we'll get to you right when we come back. We'll keep going on the Ryan McLeod trade. Matthew Savoy for McLeod. By the way, the other guy the Sabres got in the deal, Tyler Tulio, I mean, might not ever play for the Sabres. Like, AHL guy, the last couple of years. Very quickly on him, my guess would be he's an Amerk. And probably an Amerk forever. Like, at best, I think you might be hoping he develops into someone that's like a call-up. Like a tweener guy. But for now, AHL. Timeout. I got some more thoughts on this trade. And is it enough? Like, are we good if they're done? Or is there another move coming? They proved that the offseason's not over on Friday. So we'll get into that as well. Jeremy and Joe, Sal's in for Jeremy. Timeout here. Your phone calls after this on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.